This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Wes, big one tonight. It's 1-2. Duke and North Carolina in men's lacrosse. We talked about 1-2 on the ladies' side on Saturday when North Carolina and Syracuse get together. But our next guest is one of the all-timers when it comes to men's lacrosse, especially at Duke.
NCAA career record holder for goals with 212. Scored a point now in every single one of the 75 games he ever played, Pac.
Crazy.
So I think Justin Gutterding is more than qualified to talk with us about Duke Carolina. And we had Joe Bresci on the show yesterday, Justin. We replayed it this morning. We're all going to be really disappointed if this thing is like late second half and it's 5-4. There's no possible way that happens, right? Come on. We're not headed that way, are we?
I don't think so. I mean, based off these two offenses, the ways they've played, this is going to be, you know, lights out shooting, a lot of up and down lacrosse, and, you know, I'm super excited to watch.
Justin, what makes a great scorer in this sport? What's the mindset? What's the physical attribute you have to have consistent success, regardless of what level of lacrosse you play?
Yeah, I mean, again, I always say it. It's like you got to have great teammates around you. You got to have people who get you open, who's going to put the ball on your stick and be able to, you know, make you have a great shot. If someone passes out your feet, it's going to be tough to get that shot off, that put it where you want. But at the end of the day, it's a lot of, you know, time, effort, you know, a lot of practice, a lot of reps that go into it. You know, you don't have to be the biggest and the strongest. You don't have to be the hardest shooter, but you just got to be able to know where to put the ball. And, you know, again, got to have great teammates around you to make that happen.
All right, Justin, this is Duke Carolina lacrosse. And I said this on Monday that a lot of the Duke Carolina hype certainly surrounds basketball. Occasionally it drifts into football. Once in a while, baseball maybe. But this is the real deal now. I mean, these are two programs that have just about – they don't have the national hype maybe that basketball does, but the feel and the vibe of the rivalry is still just as strong in lacrosse as I think it is in basketball.
Oh, 100%. It's definitely there. You know, when you're a senior, you have a few goals in mind that are team based, and you know, it's win an ACC tournament, win a national championship, and beat Carolina. You know, you don't want to lose to those guys, especially they're just down the road, and you know, it's really important to us to get that win.
We had Michael Sowers on the show about a week and a half ago, and I mean, every single time we either watch a match or watch highlights, he just seems to be in the right place at the right time. It's funny how great players do that. You have that ability too, Justin. But what do you see in Sowers' game that you have an appreciation to say, you know what, the dude's got some serious skill?
Yeah, he really is an unbelievable player. Great talent. I've heard only great things about him, work ethic and character. So I'm really happy for him that he's seen the success so far. You know, and I continue, you know, it's just going to keep happening, especially when he keeps playing with these guys and, you know, gain that chemistry. It's only going to get better. So I'm really excited to watch.
All right. Counter that with Chris Gray of Carolina, who's also a great scorer too, right? I mean, I know you played in Duke Carolina games where you had, you know, you had a bomber on each side here. So how much impact do Sowers and Gray have tonight, or does it become a collaborative piece?
Yeah, Chris Gray is an unbelievable player as well. You know, it's really, really fun to watch these guys play. But at the end of the day, it's not going to come down to these two guys. The teams are going to have game plans to stop these guys, so it's going to be the guys around them that make the plays. And I'm sure they'll have their points, but at the end of the day, it's going to be, you know, guys like Nekhai Montgomery and Joe Robertson and Brendan O'Neill for Duke. So I'm really excited to just watch these guys, you know, take that next step and get into, you know, make their mark on this Duke Carolina game.
Justin, this is a crazy question. And you're talking to two guys that are watching from afar. And I think a lot of folks are starting to pick up on lacrosse, even though the sport's taken off nationally. But is this a trash talking sport? And when you're out playing, is it just one of those things that, hey, listen, there's so much going on, you're flying back and forth, but is there a sense of, hey, you know what, considering what's going on, there is some serious trash talk? And take us between the lines on that.
Yeah, I would definitely say, if you asked anyone who's played against me, there's some trash talk that goes down. You know, it's just part of the game. It's definitely, especially in this one, there's definitely some time to make some words between, whether it be a goal or when the ball's at the other end of the field. There's definitely time to chat it up with the other guy.
All right, but here's the other thing, too, about Duke Carolina, and I know this happens in other sports, so I'm curious about the lacrosse connection. I mean, I know some of the basketball guys now post-play get along. I mean, once those careers are over at the collegiate level, they get along. I know also that the get-along factor doesn't necessarily extend to tonight. Tonight you go back into the group text with everybody that you played with, or – you know, guys like that. How's that work in lacrosse? Does everybody kind of get along, see each other on Franklin Street or over in Raleigh or whatever the case may be? But then once you get to this particular situation, you go to the respective corners type deal.
Yeah, I mean, I would say in college you don't really hang around these guys too much. You know, you're not friends at the end of the day. You're friends with the guys who are in your locker room. But
right.
I would say post-career, definitely. I've made my friendships with a few of these guys. You know, others, you know, it kind of just stays that way. But I would definitely say, you know, I would say that's the same about any really team that you play against. You're not friends with them when you're playing, but eventually, you know, you move past that and, you know, you gain respect for each other.
Justin, I would assume that now that you've moved on and you're looking from afar like we are for this game tonight, this match between Duke and North Carolina, when you see five ACC teams ranked in the top nine nationally, and we talked about how this sport is taken off from a national perspective, do you look back and say, hey, you know what? This thing's on fire. It's only going to get bigger and badder and nastier and awesome, because the ACC has done an amazing job with both the men and the women's lacrosse programs from a national perspective.
Yeah, I would just say, I was out in Colorado last week doing a camp, and the talent out there was ridiculous. And that just shows how fast this game is growing. I would say if I went out of camp 10 years ago out there, I would be teaching them how to catch and throw. But I was just doing crazy high level stuff with them. So, you know, this game is really exploding and it's only going to get better. I hope, you know, some colleges out West begin to take on D1, like, you know, a USC or a Stanford, and only continue to grow this game nationally. You know, it would be really huge, and I'm excited for, you know, where this sport takes off.
Justin, it's amazing. I know you grew up in New York, came obviously to Duke to go to school. The influence in the Northeast 20 some odd years ago really impacted what lacrosse at the ACC level has been, be it Virginia, the North Carolina schools, and so forth. Do you sense that, I mean, we just had Megan Carney on from Syracuse, who plays for their women's lacrosse team. She's from McKinney, Texas. Is the next growth plate in lacrosse the Rocky Mountains, the western part of the United States, in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think we have to expand and continue to have guys go out there and do camps and make these kids, you know, want to play this game. And I think there's some unbelievable athletes out there that are playing other sports right now that, you know, might not, you know, want to play at that level anymore for, you know, say whether it be football or basketball. And I think continuing to grow that game starts with, you know, pros and guys like me who want to expand this game and, you know, want to do the best for the sport.
By the way, on a totally separate issue, I noticed you got a guitar in the backdrop there. Can you play it? Can you play a lick, or is that just for decorative purposes?
That is straight decorative purposes. Unfortunately, you can't.
I mean, you can't even put together like a G chord, C chord. I mean, you got nothing. I mean, that's it. I mean, he's collecting dust over there.
It's a zero.
I can play Happy Birthday. That's the one thing I learned over quarantine.
All right, I know you. I know you got a PLL career going. I know you play for the Chrome. Where are you professionally, and that the growth of that game has also been interesting to watch too, by the way.
Yeah, the recent expansion with the MLL was so, so huge. You know, this is going to be the best lacrosse you're going to see in, I think, forever. This is the most talent in such little teams. You even see on the waiver wire, there's guys left off that are, you know, could play at this level, which just shows the talent, you know, pool in this league. And it's going to be an unbelievable summer. I'm really excited. And guys are going to be fighting for spots that, you know, led the league in points last year. It's really going to be exciting to watch. Wow.
Justin, I want to go back because this becomes, I think, educational for a lot of folks that are going to be watching tonight, because you got 1-2 with the men, 1-2 against the ladies on Saturday here on ACC Network. We talked about Sowers and Gray and all that stuff and the great scores and, you know, the mindset. The physicality of this sport, I think, is what always surprises people when they see it for the first time, because it's really a combination. It's got a little football, it's got a little hockey, it's got a little baseball, it's got a little bit of everything, and it's nonstop. But the physicality of the sport, is that something you find that when you talk to people for the first time about the sport, they can't believe it? Because people think, lacrosse, yeah, guys out there throwing the ball back and forth, hey, this is cute, this is great. But, man, that's not what it's about. This is a down and dirty, and you better bring your lunch kind of sport. And, you know, if you're soft, it'll weed itself out, doesn't it? I mean, you just can't pull that off in this sport.
Oh, 100%. A lot of the guys that have lasted this long are just, you know, tough and, you know, want to continue to play. But this sport is no joke. It's got the mix of everything, but you're allowed in, like, unlike hockey and other sports, you're allowed to hit each other with your sticks, which is, like, you know, when you think about it, it's kind of crazy. But, yeah, you're hitting each other with, you know, these aluminum pipes, basically, and you know, you're still allowed to make body contact and all that stuff. So you get a lot of bumps and bruises along the way, but you know, you got to continue to just you know, keep playing and have fun with it.
Love it.
Hey, real quick, how did John Donowski and Joe Bresci handle tonight? We know how the players handle it. How are the coaches handling it?
I know Coach Donowski likes to go about it just as any other game. Although he knows it's not, he likes to keep us in the mindset of, you know, it's just a lacrosse game. And he's always been like that. That was the same mindset in the national championship when we played against Yale. It was just another game that we have to play. And you know, he does a great job preparing us for these moments. And then that's what all comes down in the fall and all that training. You know, it really leads to games like this. So I'm not sure how Coach Bresci handles it, but for us, it's just another game. Although everyone knows it's Duke Carolina, it means a little bit more.
Justin, we normally do this for current student athletes as the last question of interviews, but since you got that Duke degree, I'll ask you point blank. During your career, since you can't play the guitar, but it looks good, but since you were at Duke, what was the hardest class you ever had at Duke?
Wow. Hardest class I've ever took. I took financial accounting, and I'm not in that field anymore. So that one was very difficult. I knew after that I was not going to enter that field.
Yeah, it's time to grab a stick and hit somebody with it after that class. I can assure you. No wonder why you were so mean on the field, man. That's why you just had that class.
Exactly.
Man, don't mess with Justin. He just had that financial accounting class. He's going to hurt somebody out here.
Justin, I got to tell you. You've given us the quote of the day on Packer and Durham. You get to hit somebody with an aluminum pipe. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that just qualifies everything.
I mean, that's at the end of the day. That shows how tough these guys are.
You're right about that. Listen, it's a pleasure having you on the show. Continued success, stay healthy, and all that good stuff.
Yes, you too. Thanks for having me, guys.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We're not done with guests either, by the way.
Oh, no.
Mm-mm. We're going women's softball, bottom of the hour. Special weapon, too.
Got that for you.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, last night, National Sports Media Association had a virtual trivia night.
Oh, how did
several people asked why you weren't there.
I can't believe
I know.
That.
Several people asked if you were going to be part of it, and I said Jay Harris was with us from ESPN, Ryan McGee, and others.
Oh, stunning.
Folks want to know where Packer was. I said Packer doesn't doesn't allow him to participate in trivia.
No. I was eating kale instead.
No, you weren't. One of the people last night who participated in the trivia was Clayton Jewell, who's a big Ohio State fan, but lives in Lexington, North Carolina. He's a mechanical engineer. Yeah. And Clayton wanted me to pass along to you, next time you're in the area, he'd like to – he's a big fan of the 84 off-campus show, watches Packer and Durham occasionally, even though he's got no ties to the ACC being a Buckeye fan. But Clayton said, next time, tell Mark he's in the area. I'd love to meet him at the LBC and break some barbecue with him.
Let's see. It's 9:20. I got a 3 hours with Dockich and Chris Holtman from Ohio State. So he'll be listening today.
Yeah, I'll be listening to that. Yeah.
I don't know if I can do it today, yeah. But I may be up there on Saturday if he's watching.
Okay. Well, Clayton, there you go. Clayton Jewell. Good luck. Angel. Packer will be in town. Your chance to buy him hush puppies and one of them wax paper pies at the end.
Do I love those. Whew, are they good.
I know. Apple's my favorite.
It is mine, too.
All right. So time for this week's edition of True or False, presented by
Dish.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, here to ask the questions. Joshua Macri.
Voice of victory.
I feel like a dumb northerner, but what in the world is a wax paper pie?
It's a pie in wax paper.
Oh, no, we're not doing that right now. We're not doing that right now.
I mean, at least I admit when I'm ignorant.
I road trip up there, I will bring one back. The problem is bringing one back, I eat three of them in the Ford F-150 for across the county line.
That's the other issue, yeah.
I would bring one back.
He can't get out of Davidson County before he's crunched.
Swallowed whole. Those things are awesome. Made in Winston-Salem.
You know what? Here's the deal. Let me tell you what we'll do, Josh. When we all gather, hopefully sooner than later, for events, we will supply you with the wax paper pies.
So good. How's that? They are delicious.
Apple is the preferred choice of the Packer and Durham program, yep. Although there is cherry, I think, right, too?
There is cherry. There's all kinds. They got multiple. Chocolate is my least favorite.
Lemon. They got a lemon deal. If you like lemon.
Yeah, but apple's the go-to.
Apple's the one you want.
Looking forward to that. True.
Yeah. True.
Speaking of which, let's get to some true or true. False questions, as you mentioned, brought to you by Dish.
Dish.
First one, true or false, the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets baseball team will finish the season hitting over 300. Currently, they're the only team in the league over 300.
True. This is a smoke show at the plate, by the way. Kevin Parada is worth your time, by the way, for Georgia Tech. Pack. He is a machine.
Tell you, 300's a big number, though. I'm taking your word for it. I've watched the Jackets a few times. I'm going to say
the
false.
All yellow for you.
Yeah, I'm going to go false, though.
What?
I'll tell you. Wes, 300's a big team number now. That's a big,
I got big bats.
Team number. I hear you. This is a good league. There are a lot of good teams in this league. 300, that's a big number.
They are machines.
I'm going to say false.
I'm going true.
Okay.
Now, for what it's worth.
Mark the tape.
For what it's worth, a little trivia for you, Wes.
Yeah,
courtesy
for Wes.
Of Drew Brooks.
Wes only.
we know that Wes is the only trivia guy here.
That's true.
In the last full season of ACC baseball, which, of course, was the 2019 campaign, Georgia Tech was the only team to hit over 300. Last year.
That's right.
Five teams did it in that shortened season. Georgia Tech was not one of them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know?
I know.
But you already knew that.
Kevin Parada.
Never mind. I'll see myself out then.
Just telling you. Kevin Parada.
There you go.
Raking it. All right.
From baseball to softball, and in about 7 minutes, we'll be talking to Virginia Tech's star pitcher, Keely Richard. She's one of two ACC pitchers with an ERA under one. Take that, Bob Gibson.
Oh.
True or false, at least one pitcher this season will finish with a sub one ERA.
True. True. You know why you can't get a can't get a run off Keely? Because she strikes out everybody. Now Keely was on our best and worst list, which was the best at this particular time about 2 weeks ago. I think she struck out everybody she looked at. It was crazy what she did. So I'm looking forward to getting her on the show. So I'm going to say true.
Shelby Waters, though.
I'm going to go true on that.
Yeah. I'll go true. Why wouldn't I? She dusts everybody. Come on now.
She's tough, man. She's good.
Yeah. She doesn't even lead the league in ERA, though.
I know, but she strikes out everybody.
Man, I watch some of the softball this week, the Duke-Clemson deal.
That was good.
That is like, that's sick. It's like throwing lasers at people. It's, you know, you gotta start the move with the bat when the ball is like in the down. It's crazy.
Yeah, I want no part of getting in the box for a women's softball game. That would be a very.
Oh, come on. You're all about, you know, I know, the experience. But you want to do the fencing deal.
No, I do want to do
step
fencing.
Step in the box and have a little BP off the softball
pitch.
No,
not with a bad knee. I don't.
Huh?
No. That's why I want to get to the rowing. I can sit down in the rowing. Oh, somebody else can get me down.
The knee's
going to
be the out for like the next 6 months. I can see that.
It could very well be.
By the way.
You might be doing this show by yourself until we sign those contract extensions.
Next up.
All right, guys. As we've made everyone very aware of throughout this show, and rightfully so, Duke and Carolina play tonight on the lacrosse field. They're the two top scoring teams in the ACC, with Carolina scoring over 18 goals a game, Duke scoring over 17. This, true or false, both of those teams will be held under their season scoring averages tonight.
I've been saying this. I asked Joe Bresci yesterday. Asked Justin Gutterning today. What if a defensive squabble breaks out? I'm going true.
Yeah, I agree.
Try to tell you guys, if it's 7-5 with about 8 minutes left, Packer and Durham are going to be taking heat tomorrow from the viewers.
No, I think
you told us there'd be scoring.
I think they're both going to get the double digits. But 18 and 17 is a big number when you got 1-2. I hope it is, though. I mean, I'm telling you, that Duke-Syracuse thing last week was 15-14, and it was spectacular. I hope tonight does just the same deal, because it's got the chance to be really, really entertaining.
Yeah.
Did we lose the voice of victory?
No, we didn't. We didn't. Just doing a little multitasking here.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disturb you.
Let's go back to the diamond, where Carolina and Florida State face off in a weekend series. Carolina leads the conference with 32 home runs.
True.
Florida State is second with 31.
Also true.
True or false, the teams will combine for at least 10 home runs this weekend.
False.
No, true.
False. You know what? NC State stymied those Tar Heel bats. And, you know, the Noles pitching against Miami, what you're seeing right there, that when they outscored them 34-2 in that sweep. I think there's going to be enough pitching to make sure the ball doesn't ricochet off the side of my house this weekend. There'll be some bombs, but I don't think there's going to be that many.
Yeah. 10?
It's a lot.
I mean, that could happen. You could get half that in a game.
Well, you could. I'm going to jump on it. Go ahead. I'm going to go false.
I am. I'm going to go true. Okay. I'm going to go true.
Okay.
I'll stand on that.
One more lacrosse question here for good measure.
True.
As we talked about a lot,
okay,
the ACC dominates the top of the polls, both men and women. True or false, the same school will win the national title this year, both for the men and for the women.
False.
Whoa.
False.
Whoa.
False. You know what? I heard that. Wow. I heard a lot of that chatter from my friends that follow Baylor Athletics. Pack, we're going to win the men's and the women's national title in hoops. Well, I'll take any piece of that you want, especially now. Is there a chance that could happen in this league? Yes, and only in this league. But I'm going to say false, Wes. I don't think there'll be a sweep. I do not.
Yeah. I'm gonna go false too. I can't quite see that becoming fruition.
But it can only happen in this league.
Yeah, I would agree with that now. I tell you what, the Final Four of women's and men's lacrosse could be an ACC showcase.
Yep.
You know?
Sure could. That's not even
a reach.
By
the way, I'm beginning to believe from these highlights that the throw the stick on the ground is a women's only rule.
Yeah, yeah. But I just like the way Megan she has total disdain for the stick when she scores. I love the attitude.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So great.
I'd like to see her haul off one time, just throw it 30 yards down the field. Just haul off, overhead, gone, down the field, 30 yards.
Like a Florida Gator football player with a Nike shoe, one of those routines like that?
Well, just kind of toss it down the field. You said that before I did, so there you go.
Just asking.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
All right, Wes, like I told you, about a week and a half ago, Keila Richard was on our best of the weekend because I think she went 3-0. Right. She struck out like 455 people. It was just to the point of absurdity. Back-to-back 19 Ks. And,
right.
She's unstoppable. And Virginia Tech softball off to a great start, too. Keila joins us from beautiful Blacksburg, Virginia. Keila, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
We are good. So what's it like? Like everybody that comes in the batter's box, you just look them, stare them right in the eye and go, forget it. Go sit down. There's no way you're getting a hit. You're not going to score. You've been unstoppable. It's amazing watching you pitch.
Thank you.
So what's that like when you just know you're going to overpower everybody? What's the story there?
I don't know that. I just have like that mindset. Like, that I'm going to go in there and just, like, compete every single pitch. So it works out that way, but I don't think like that when I see a batter.
All right, but Keila, you're second in the ACC in ERA. I mean, there's 106 innings of work. Opponents are hitting 127. The vibe of pitching in softball, I mean, you hear it all the time. In this sport, the hot arm can win the game. So what is it about the team concept when you know and you're pitching with as much confidence as you are? What's that feel like?
It feels good, but I just know, like, my hitters are going to get the job done, so I just trust that, like, if I do my job on defense, I know my hitters are going to get the job done and my defense is going to back me up.
106 innings pitched, 167 Ks. Do your teammates ever come up to you and say, hey, Keila, you know, just let us play. Let's just get a ball and play so we can see what it feels like. Because I'm telling you, every time Virginia Tech softball is on and you're pitching, I'm like, well, you know, here's three up, three down. Here's whiff, 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 sit. Whiff, 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 sit. Whiff, 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 sit. Time for us to bat. But do your teammates ever come up to you and say, hey, Let them hit one out to the outfield every now and then, so we get a chance to play.
Sometimes we're like, dang, it's boring out here. I'm bored. It's funny, though.
But you got to laugh, though, right? I mean, seriously, you've been and I know you're very humble and low-key. I already get that in the first minute of this interview and conversation. But, man, I'm telling you, you just overpower people to the point. Do you think you have, like, an aura now? I mean, the reputation's out that, oh, gosh, we got the Hokies. Here comes Overshard up here. Do you think you got an aura when you're on the diamond and you say, guess what? I'm in town, boys and girls. Get ready for it.
I don't know, I guess.
You don't know? But do you not get a sense that, you know what, I'm really doing something special here? Nobody can touch it.
Yeah. Yeah, I do get a sense of that. I feel like I feel like people probably watch like a lot of film before coming on me. So, yeah.
You're killing them.
Keila, when this season started, there were a lot of questions about how we would get through. And Pack and I have talked to, and we discussed it earlier with Megan Carney, who plays lacrosse at Syracuse. I think there was a lot of uncertainty in the fall. There was a degree of uncertainty in the winter. But now that we've moved into spring sports, and there are more of them, that's one thing we learned from athletic administrators across the ACC footprint. What do we need to know about what student-athletes are going through in the spring? Because all this was taken away last year. So what's it been like to get the chance to play again, yet in a completely different environment this spring?
Yeah, so the fans are really limited, so one, you already don't really get to see your parents a lot, but now in the spring is really when you would get to see them because they come to your games and stuff and you'd be able to hang out with them over the weekend. So we're not really allowed to do that now. And it also changes like each place that we go to. We get tested twice a week. So, and it kind of sucks because our off days are Monday. So when we get back from traveling all day on Sunday, and we get back late. We have to wake up at 6:30 in the morning to go get COVID tested. And that's like our off day. Mm-hmm. So that's the day that we're like excited to sleep in. So there's definitely a lot more precautions, but I just know that I'm excited, and I know probably everyone else is just happy to be playing.
Keely, this weekend, yeah, you get Duke. We just had the big series between Duke and Clemson, a four-game series. It was split. You've also seen the Tigers already this year. How much studying on film? I mean, I know you're trying to get your study done, and you know it is a different world, but how much studying do you watch of, all right, you got the Duke-Clemson series this weekend. How much of that will you watch and try to figure out, okay, this worked, this didn't work, and move forward for the weekend series coming up against the Blue Devils?
We watch just about every day. We usually just watch one game, or we watch each pitcher, or we go through the lineup at least once or twice. But we just study it each day, really.
And what do you look for? I mean, I just want to follow up. For somebody that's been so commanding from a pitching perspective, what do you, not to give away all your secrets here, but what do you look for? Like when you're watching film of Duke, what was something that you picked up on that you said, you know what, I could take advantage of this?
Really, I just watch, like, in everyone. I just watch, like, where batters stand in the box, how other pitchers pitch to them, and what gets them out. Like, I can tell if a pitcher throws them in a lot and they roll over on it, that's probably a way that I'll go into my bat, into my each pitch or the first at bat against them. So every pitcher is different, so I can't get like someone out the same way someone else gets someone out. But if I notice a trend with one batter and different pitchers, then usually that's like my go-to, but I also just kind of do my own thing too. So
that's working. I'd keep doing that.
Yeah. Keely, the other thing I noticed in looking at the stats for your team, not only have you been fantastic pitching, your team's been pretty good at the plate. You guys have got a really good combination, it looks like, because your team's hitting over 300. You guys have scored, I mean, a bunch of runs. I mean, all that counts. So where's the vibe with this team as a whole going into a series like Duke?
We just really go into every series like we're playing the best team. So we always go in like this is our biggest competition regardless who we're playing. So we prepare the same way. Our team's really good at adjusting. So even if we don't do well the first time through, we usually adjust better the second time through and adjust better the third time through. It's really hard for our team to, for a pitcher to get past our team more than once.
Keely, real quickly here, how fast can you throw it? If I have a bat and you see me stumbling up there with my one good knee, my one bad knee, how fast could you hum it in there? How fast?
It depends on the day, I guess. But
No, I mean, seriously.
Probably.
Well, you know.
Between 64 and 66.
64 and 66. And I'm assuming there's a change up in there too, a little slow. I mean, you're gonna pull the string on me, right? I mean, you'll give me a dose of 66 and say, this old man can't hit this thing. But you know, you're going to give me a little change up too, right? I mean, it's going to be a little fake left, go right. Here comes one in there about 48 miles an hour, and people are ducking for their lives, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of. And what else do we throw? I mean, we got the fastball. You got that all day. You got a little change up. What else are we throwing? Got anything else for me?
A rise.
And what's that going to do to me?
Okay.
Other than close my eyes, what's that going to do to me?
I'll just get, jump up in the zone.
Yeah, that would be me jumping up in the zone. That's what that would be. I'll tell you that right now. It'd be an ugly sight. That's what that would be. Before we let you go, though, we do this for every student-athlete that appears on the program. Since you've been at Virginia Tech, what has been your hardest class?
Probably accounting.
Well, we get that a lot.
Accounting's starting to take a lot of credit.
Yeah.
Accounting is wearing people out back.
Accounting has not been good. Zoom or no Zoom. Pre or post COVID, accounting has taken people's names, just like Keely does when she's out there on the mound. You're next. 19 Ks. I saw you. Listen, Big series coming up. You've been a joy to watch, too. I'm telling you, the ladies are getting the job done. Continued success and stay healthy.
Thank you.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, final segment of the very first show of April. And we led with some breaking news this morning with the fact that we have assigned contract extensions and the show's going to go for at least another year. Surprised a lot of people there. Again, hopefully everybody enjoys the day, first day of April.
Yeah.
We do have some news,
Don't be jacking around with people, though. Didn't we? Don't do like Billy with his granddaughter. Don't start jacking around with people today.
Right. I don't like April 1st. I'm not a fan of April 1st.
Oh, no. Your dad jacking around with your with your daughter, though. Come on.
Well, that was a pretty good one. I got to admit, that was a good one by Billy.
Yeah, it was.
Scared our daughter half to death. That was a good one by Billy.
Yeah. All right, you ready? We got some awards. Hardware, ready?
Yep.
In what was kind of expected, Austin O'Connor of Carolina was named the ACC Wrestler of the Year. I mean, you are the national champion.
Yeah, we had Austin on the program. Yeah, we had Austin on the program, and you know, he looks like I told him. I said, if I need somebody for security, if I ever get the chance to leave the basement, he's my guy. Now, Austin O'Connor's not messing around. He's got that look on his. He's got that look in his eyes and that wry little smile that, hey, don't mess with me. And, again, certainly should have been the wrestler of the year. No question.
Yeah. Sam Latona, by the way, Virginia Tech, who was a quarterfinalist nationally at the NCAA tournament, freshman of the year. Coach of the year split, Pat Popolizio and Keith Gavin. Pack.
We've had some interesting coach of the years here lately, right? In the women's side in basketball, we had a split in terms of the national coach of the year versus the ACC coach of the year. Now in wrestling, we go split it right down the middle. So, again, congratulations to all of them. It was a great year in wrestling for the Atlantic Coast Conference and getting better.
Speaking of people that have surgery as opposed to those that need it.
Yeah, that's true.
Leonard Hamilton of Florida State has undergone successful surgery to repair his ruptured Achilles. Remember, he broke that story with us on this show from Indianapolis. And there you go. There's a look.
Ugh.
Got to stop chasing referees to the parking garage.
That stinks. You know, just that shot right there from Leonard just confirms that I made the right decision yesterday not to have surgery.
Come on.
We wish Coach the best, though. Yeah. Getting back healthy again.
Yep.
He'll be back.
Tell you what, he could slide right on in and co-host for us, though, because he got nowhere he's going.
Yeah. Well, of course, you know, eventually they're going to let us all get together again. One of these days.
Yeah, maybe.
We won't have to be doing this distance thing.
I would like to note that Coach Hamilton had surgery. Packer has deferred surgery.
Yep, need it. Plain hurt. We're going to be all right. Maybe, if I can get to the end of the show.
Augusta National Women's Amateur is underway. There are several ACC ladies competing. Amelia Migliaccio of Wake Forest was the leader after day one from an ACC perspective. I think she was about three or four back. Tremendous event. Champions retreat for the first 3 days, and then they finish up at Augusta National on the weekend.
That sounds like a pretty good deal. That looks like a good deal, right? You play some golf for a few days, and hey, if you're still hanging around, let's go play Augusta on Sunday. That is a pretty sweet deal, right?
Totally agree. Yep.
Still waiting for my invite.
Also, from a coaching – yeah, I know. Coaching perspective, Sue Simarow is returned.
That's great news.
To coach Florida State's women's basketball team, and we're delighted to have her back. In the ACC fold. And at the same time, congratulations to Brooke Wyckoff, who did a phenomenal job as the interim head coach this year for Florida State, Pack.
Yeah, and we had a lot of fun with the interviews with Brooke, and she did a tremendous job. Tough year for every coach, given the pandemic and given what happened at Florida State specifically with Sue's situation, was even tougher. But you know what? Brooke did a great job. But like you said, it's great to have Sue back, and I know she's thrilled. And a lot of good folks praying for her and family and everything else. And that always helps. It's never hurt.
Absolutely. So great to have Sue Semeraw back coaching Florida State, and look forward to the 21-22 campaign. So big lacrosse tonight, North Carolina and Duke at 7 o'clock right here on ACC Network. Full breakdown of that tomorrow along with other news and notes. Good show today, Pac. Good show.
It's always a good show. I mean, I just love the folks we get a chance to talk with and eventually meet somewhere down the road. But, the student-athletes in this league, mm-hmm. Like I said, you know about everybody in football. You know about everybody in basketball. Mm-hmm. But you get these Olympic sports, and really springtime, it really starts to explode upon us now that March Madness is winding down this weekend. There's so many cool storylines within the league with the Olympic sports. And I said this the other day on the air. That's one of the cool things I think about the ACC Network is that you're going to get a chance to all of a sudden see some sports maybe you never followed before, but there's great storylines, and the students and the coaches that are all tied into these sports, there's amazing storylines. And hopefully as we move on in now to April and May and baseball rocking and rolling and softball doing its thing and other stuff, that we'll have a chance to interview a number of them here on the program. And you'll get a chance to meet some mm-hmm. cool personalities and some folks you'd maybe never heard of before and get a chance to see what they do, he or she, and go, how, you know what? I was never really a big fan of fill in the blank, but you know, this is a pretty cool story. I really liked her, or I really liked that guy, or whatever the case may be with the interviews that you see. So to me, it's a fun time because there's so much that we need to tap into in this league up and above mm-hmm. football, spring football, and hoops, which has always received a ton of exposure, and rightfully so. You'll be doing the Clemson spring game this weekend, Saturday, down in Death Valley. But again, I think the Olympic sports have so much to offer in this league, and the league is really, really good. Men and women, we keep telling you about all the rankings mm-hmm. and all that stuff. It's legit. So tonight you get a perfect sample of it. If you're sitting back, go, man, I wonder what we going to watch tonight, man. In the March Madness, they get cranked up this weekend. You go watch Duke and North Carolina tonight, men's lacrosse. You go check out North Carolina and Syracuse and women's lacrosse Saturday morning. Again, we're talking about 1 versus 2. Not in the league. Nationally, you'll know what we're talking about. There's some great, great sports taking place here and great storylines.
Yep, no doubt about it. We're looking forward to chronicling it as the spring unfolds and the month of April gets underway. There is a little business. We'll dive into it and touch on it tomorrow. Surrounding both the men's and women's national championships, and that is – some of the things that are going on from a business side in college athletics involving the NCAA. We'll touch on that as well on tomorrow's show because it is a news item. And one of the things we've gotten to talk about. And yesterday, the president of the NCAA, Dr. Mark Emmert, talked about some of the perceived inequities of the men's and women's tournament and the miss on the NCAA's part. Meanwhile, the NCAA attorney was in Washington in the Supreme Court. That was a lot yesterday, a lot of business of college athletics and a lot of speculation about what college athletics is going to look like. And Pac has said this, and I don't disagree with you on this one, Pards. We're on the front end of potentially major shifts and changes in collegiate athletics. And there are a lot of people that want a voice in the room right now that maybe in the past haven't been as strong with their voice. From government officials all the way down to state law. If you follow the timeline on this, there are a lot of these states that are moving forward with name, image, and likeness. It's going to be real interesting to see kind of how all that is portrayed and plays out as we move into the next academic year as well, Mark.
Well, the NCAA versus Austin case, and we're not going to bore you with legalese here. It's worthy of just keep an eye on it just to see where that goes. Name, image, and likeness is a separate issue too. Which is really real, and they're going to have to deal with it. Everybody's going to have to deal with it. But at least, we can all sleep better knowing that the chairman of the NCAA Board of Regents or whatever they are gave Mark Emmert a vote of confidence over the weekend with the way he's handled the women's tournament and all that stuff. So we can all sleep better at night. So we got that going for us, which is kind of nice.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.